"While I've been gadding about the country," as my mother used to say, "I've been squirreling away some scraps of paper on which I noted items of possible interest. First, speaking of squirrels, can you answer this question for me? Have you ever seen a squirrel retrieve one of the nuts that it buried for winter's day? The bushy-tailed bandits in my backyard steal peanuts that we put out for the songbirds in the bird garden, as we call it, carry them over to the lawn, and dig craters into it before dropping the nuts and pawing dirt and grass remnants over them. But not once have I seen a squirrel return when the ground is frozen, the snow is high, and it's presumably hungry as a, well, a squirrel whose jowls aren't quite as puffy to fetch its stash. Fortunately, the peanuts don't sprout in the spring. Neither, however, does the grass in those spots. There isn't any." The next section of this little missive I entitle, "Where's the Four?" My colleague Julie Tabo passed me a Washington Post article on which she scribbled the following note, replete with exclamation points. "Ted! The importance of prepositions!" Well, it seems that a fellow named John Mendez of Woodbridge, Virginia, was having a bad day. His tools had just been stolen, and he'd been laid off from his job, so he was likely out of sorts when he came upon a school bus loaded with children that was stopped with its red lights flashing and its stop sign extended outside the driver's window. Whether he was or wasn't preoccupied, Mendez drove right past the bus and into the clutches of a waiting police officer who cited him for reckless driving, a serious charge that carries the potential of jail time and a hefty fine. In that situation, most people I know would have gone before the judge, pleaded guilty with an explanation, and asked for leniency, considering the circumstances. Mendez not only pleaded not guilty, he beat the rap, despite clear evidence that he had indeed lurched around a stopped school bus, potentially endangering the lives of little ones and their parents who could have popped out from in front of the bus. Mendez's defense was ingenious and indisputable. He simply didn't do what he was charged with, and he could prove it. Here's the 40-year-old Virginia statute covering the situation. A person is guilty of reckless driving who fails to stop when approaching from any direction, any school bus which is stopped on any highway, private road, or school driveway for the purpose of taking on or discharging children. "Nope, never did such a thing," Mendez told the court, and the judge reluctantly agreed with him, acquitted him, and sent him on his merry way without any sort of penalty. How's this possible? Now, listen to the statute again, slowly, word for word, particularly the first part. A person is guilty of reckless driving who fails to stop when approaching from any direction, any school bus. If you look carefully, or listen in this case carefully, because of a single missing preposition, perhaps the word for, the language says nothing at all about passing stopped school buses. As it reads, one can be deemed reckless for stopping the school bus. The statute says nothing about failing to stop for it. Mendez didn't stop the bus, he pointed out. It was already at a standstill, idling. He was, the judge had to agree, as innocent as the day is long. And the way things work in state bureaucracies, the law can't be changed until the newly elected Virginia legislature convenes in January. Even worse, any amended law, one with the added four, won't take effect until June. I doubt this means that drivers will now whiz past stopped school buses with impunity in Virginia, since I'm sure law enforcement will find something besides reckless driving charges to bring in such circumstances. But what happened in Woodbridge says something about both John Mendez's astute eye for detail and about, as Julie puts it, the importance of prepositions. As she and I later discussed, we prepositions are tricky, especially for immigrants for whom English is a second language. They often stick the wrong one into sentences because the wording would be quite different in their native languages. My next cubicle neighbor, Greek-born Penelope Poulou, gave me an illustration. Americans say, "I believe in you," in English, but the equivalent in Greek, if you tried to translate it word for word into English, would be, "I believe to you." No doubt lots of English-learning newcomers have said words to the effect of, "I believe to you," and been sternly corrected or even laughed at. Prepositions aren't consistent even in English. Why, for instance, do we say we're on the train, but we're in the car? We're in the train, too, of course, but if we said we were on the car, that would conjure up images of silent film slapstick stars balancing atop an automobile's roof in heavy traffic. The Virginia school bus law didn't use the wrong word, of course. It left out a key little word, say, "for." In either case, be on the lookout for sneaky, powerful prepositions. The next section I call, "Congratulations, it's a superstar." The pushy parent phenomenon is nothing new in America. Proud parents have been known to pay big bucks, pull strings, and hover over teachers and coaches to make sure their little darlings shine and get ahead, hence the term helicopter mom or dad. They consider it parental encouragement. The teachers and principals and coaches who must face the visits, phone calls, and scoldings from obsessively doting parents call it bullying, or worse. And things may be getting out of hand. The New York Times reports that parents are buying up baby sports DVDs as fast as they reach the shelves or on the web. Baby sports DVDs. These are exercise and sports programs aimed at toddlers, infants, even newborns, designed to give them an edge when they're old enough to take to the soccer or little league baseball field. We hear all the time from families that have been with us, "Our kids are superstars when they're in middle school and they get into sports." The developer of one training program for babies as young as 6 months told The Times. The newspaper printed a photo of 3 2-year-olds, all in uniform, sitting with soccer balls before their smiling parents as they await the start of drills. 2-year-olds. This is baby Mozart stuff. Bob Bigelow, a former pro basketball player and critic of competitive sports for tots, told The Times. You play Mozart for the baby in the womb, and it comes out some sort of fine arts major. He scoffed. There are millions of American parents worried to death that their children might fall behind somebody else's kid. So, let the competition begin really early. When the stakes down the road include possible full scholarships to college or even multi-million-dollar professional sports contracts, anything is possible. I can see it now. Leagues of little fetuses listening in utero to inspirational pep talks from coaches and to recordings of grunting athletes and frenzied sports crowds via speakers strapped to their mothers' bellies.
"My baby kicked harder than your baby,"
one proud parent will say to another. You thought Americans were a competitive lot. Just wait until little Brad and Brittany, the titans of the nursery, grow up and kick butt. I should probably stop there, but I have one more question. I opened with one about squirrels, and so I'll close with one. And this is something you can answer, perhaps, if you respond to my blog, send a comment. All the techie companies that advertise on the radio keep touting what they call their cloud computing capabilities. Will someone please write in and explain what in the world that is? In really basic layman's terms. I'm in a fog when I listen to these ads, and there's zero visibility when I look online to try to figure this out. Seriously, that's CIRRUSLY, seriously, like a cloud. I, and maybe my readers, some of you listeners, need your help. We always close Ted Landfair's America with what I call wild words. These are words that you've heard me speak or read in the blog that might want a little more explanation about. I began by talking about gadding about the country. To gad or gad about is to wander somewhat aimlessly. In fact, A person who does so just for pleasure is called a gadabout. The next word is impunity. Impunity means freedom from or without fear of penalty or punishment. The word is usually paired with a with, another preposition I was talking about earlier. He said it with complete impunity, and then he got away with it. Slapstick is the last wild word today. Slapstick is exaggerated physical comedy, often involving pratfalls or pies in the face. Slapsticks were actual implements of early vaudeville comedy. They were paddles of sorts made of two pieces that slapped together with an exaggerated clap when applied by one comedian to another. A pratfall, by the way, I just used that word, is a sensational backward fall on your buttocks, often deliberately, for comic effect. Well, we've had some fun with this particular blog. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll be back to talk to you about something else, maybe a little more seriously next time. You never know. Thanks for listening.